Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? This is Lee from Lee and Keys Real Talk. Oh, man, we got a good show for you tonight. We got a little catch-up show. We got a lot to talk about tonight. And I love we have shows like this because we just bring that fire to y'all. You know, we got a lot to catch up on, a lot of opinions to voice, a lot of things to cover. But without further ado, I got to introduce my co-host. What's up, Keys, man? How you doing today, bro? Yo, Keys. You there, bro? All right. Let's try this again. Yo, Keys, you there, man? Well, I can't hear my man Keys right now. But let me do this real quick. Let's try it again. Yo, Keys, you there, bro?
Yep.
All right, there we go.
Again?
I think it was me. I can hear you good, man. How you doing tonight?
I'm good, bro. I'm chilling.
Man.
Hanging in.
Yeah, man, bro. So much has happened since our last show. It's crazy how much stuff that happened since our last show, man. But let's jump it off like this.
I think our last one was we did our year in review show.
Yeah, that was our last show, bro.
Yeah, but that one was, I think, the second week of the year.
That was
a couple days before. So we didn't get to talk about Uncle Live versus. So that was a couple days before that card.
Yes, it was.
So we missed one show.
Yeah, it's only been one show, but it seemed like. So we missed Uncle Live and Walker. We didn't talk about that. And then we didn't get to do our predictions for UFC 290.
It feels like 2 weeks because we have two events to talk about. I think that's why. It's usually where we would talk about that event. We didn't get to talk about it because we were doing our year in review show.
Correct. That's right.
We didn't get to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had so much stuff we were talking about plus the year in review show. It feels like 2 weeks because we have two events to cover, but we only missed 1 week.
Yeah, man. So let's jump into it, man. Uncle Arv and Walker, man. I was definitely surprised by the outcome of the fight and how the fight went. Johnny Walker had definitely been on a tear. And, man, for him to get beat like that was, I didn't see that coming, man. What was your thoughts on that fight, bro?
I'll say this. This is really the way. So I watched the fight, and first of all, I'll say one thing, Uncle Live. You were the seventh leg of a parlay I had, and you helped me sweep 7-0. You were the final leg. I had so much confidence. And I know I try not to talk about the betting because Lee's not a betting man. You know, I feel like I'm almost like making a bad influence, like making, you know what I mean? I try not to really tap into it. But Uncle Live, he from watching the fights, and at Keys Real Talk, by the way, you can see my bets over there. But, so when I was watching the fight, the thing that I thought was so was honestly really well done by Uncle Live. You know, I figured he would win the fight. I don't think we got to predict that one, but I feel like we probably both would have predicted Uncle Live to win that fight. I mean, I think most people
would have picked Walker.
That's okay. I mean, either way, when I watched it, what I saw was Uncle Live very calm in the first round. I feel like he basically, and I could be wrong, but what I saw was a guy that planned to just stand in front of Johnny Walker and let him throw out all his biggest KO shots in the first round that he was expecting to get Ankalaev out of there with. And I think that's what happened. He just kind of was like, okay, we're going to stand in front of him, let him throw all his heat, all his biggest shots, all his craziest ninja. Johnny Walker was throwing kill shots in the first round. Almost everything he threw at Ankalaev, and he connected with many of them. But you could tell that Ankalaev was I feel like Ankalaev was expecting that. And he was able to defend him and block his head when he needed. Johnny Walker was throwing a lot of head kicks. So I think Ankalaev just kind of let him burn his tank out. Not to say that he was exhausted in round two, but he definitely – I think he was on his way to slowing down after that first round. I feel like he definitely was throwing a lot of kill shots. And I think Ankalaev said, all right, we're going to be patient in the first round. And then the second round, you know, he just we're going to find the shot, put him away. And that's what happened. So, honestly, of course, I'd want to see Johnny Walker win, but you gotta chalk it up to him. That was great work from Ankalaev's team. They analyzed Johnny on that one, and they said we're going to find the shot in round two. You know, you can kind of like scan Johnny Walker in the first round and see, let him throw everything, and then we're gonna land this shot in round two. So, hey, props to him.
Yeah, man, it seemed like Ankalaev, what his game plan was. Let me see how much offense this guy has. And if I can survive whatever offense he has in the first round, and then I start putting my offense on him, can he survive? And Walker couldn't survive. I thought Walker showed too much in the first round. You know, normally first round normally used for filling out, but Walker came balls to the wall, leg kicks, you know, all, you know, the stuff he do. And Ankalaev just survived, and basically in the second round, he was like, my turn. And Walker didn't have no, he couldn't do anything with it, man. And I thought Johnny Walker would have, I thought he would have won this fight, man, because he was definitely on a tear. But sometimes, man, somebody got your number, man. They catch you with a shot, and boom. But you know, both guys had bad blood leading into the fight. You know, I think their last fight was a no contest due to an illegal knee, or something had happened where it caused a no contest, and both guys, you know, they've been going back and forth with each other. But I don't know where this puts Ankalaev at as far as in the light heavyweight division, whether or not he gets a shot at the champ, or does he have to fight one more fight? Because he has a draw against Blachowicz. I don't see – he hasn't fought Glover, but I don't think Glover is fighting anymore. Prochaska and Rockets are set to fight each other. Yeah, man, I don't know what they do with him now, bro. Does he sit and wait? Does he take another fight? I think the UFC probably try to get him in there to fight somebody else, you know, on an upcoming card. And if he win, I think he jump into the title picture. But that all depends on when our boy Jamal Hill comes back. Jamal, I think, might come back in the third quarter at the earliest, but the fourth quarter for sure. But yeah, man, great performance by Ankalaev, man, and Johnny Walker, man. You have to – I ain't going to say you have to make changes to your game, but you have to start figuring out what guys are doing to you in the octagon. Like you said, Keys, Ankalaev really just made him gas himself out. It was like, okay, you want to come out like this? Go ahead. once the second round started, was like, Walker was like, damn, man, what can I do to even, you know, do something to affect this guy? And he couldn't do anything, bro.
Yeah, so, I mean, we didn't really get to see that much of it. Probably, well, like a 6-7 minute fight, maybe.
Yeah.
We didn't get to see. Yeah, it wasn't. In total time, octagon time, maybe 6-7 minutes. And it's Johnny Walker got to go back to the drawing board and figure some things out. But at the same time, though, I mean, he lost to arguably the best guy in the division. I mean, I'm not knocking for that loss, you know.
Yeah, he's top five.
Yeah, that's why I said arguably, you know, arguably the best guy. You know, he's definitely arguably the best guy, which means he could be or he could not be, but he's definitely in the conversation. So losing to Ankalaev, I'm not knocking him for that. You know, I'm not mad at Johnny Walker for that. And I do think he looks good. You know, I mean, let me pull up Johnny Walker. And I do think in the meantime, Ankalaev, you know, I know has put his name in the hat to fight at 300 versus Alex Pereira, yeah. I know he's put his name in the hat for that, but I don't think that's – I don't know that's going to happen. I feel like if they're going to go away, I think that they're going to go – if they want to do a fight with him, because it's either going to be – you know, you got to figure Alex Pereira is going to fight soon. You got to figure that. I mean, he fought in November, and he didn't. I mean, he only fought two rounds versus Jerry. He didn't take much damage. He didn't take much damage in that fight. So you got to figure Alex Pereira will probably fight soon. I mean, I would at least like to see it. But either way, I think they'll go with the Jamal Hill fight. You know, I think that's the one that they'll go for. I don't think they'll go to do Ankalaev. I think the one they're going to look for, because you see Jamal Hill doing podcasts talking about Alex Pereira and, you know, saying how the fight's going to be. Like, there's much more talk on that fight. You know what I mean? There's much more hype around that fight. I think that's a fight that fans would want to see more than to see Pereira versus Ankalaev. You know, I think Jamal Hill is the guy. Plus, Jamal Hill was the champ, you know. Jerry was the champ, and he had to drop the belt. But then, who became the champ after that? The guy who beat the champ that Jerry beat. You know, he beat Glover Teixeira, and he became the champ. And then he had to drop the belt, which was honorable to do. I mean, both were honorable to do. I respect it. Instead of sitting on the belt for a year plus, both of those guys said, "Okay, I'm dealing with this. Let's drop the belt, and then I'll come back and fight for it. We'll compete for it later." But yeah, Jamal Hill was the guy, so I think you do that fight. I think Alex Pereira versus Jamal Hill is the one, and then Ankalaev, you know, he's just gonna be in the queue. I'm not really sure what to do with him.
Yeah, I'm looking at the rankings at light heavyweight. It's like you got Khalil Roundtree out there. I don't remember. I can't even remember the last time I seen Uzdemir fight. You got Krylov out there. I don't even remember the last time I seen him fight. It's like it's either going to be Roundtree, maybe if Minifield can get a win, because I guess he just picked to be a short notice replacement for somebody. So. But if I was him, I'd sit back and wait, man. Maybe they'll give you that a shot against Alex Pereira, because I don't think Jamal Hill is going to be back anytime soon. Because, what, he had an Achilles, right? He had an Achilles injury, I think. So, man, that's at least 9 to 12-month recovery. So, I don't know, man. We'll see how I go, though. But let's go ahead and jump into it, man. This past weekend, we had UFC 297. We had Sean Strickland making his first defense of the middleweight title, going against DDP, Drakus Duplessis, man. And new Drakus Duplessis won by split decision. I had it. Duplessis winning that fight. I thought the third round was a swing round, only because I felt Sean Strickland kind of took the third round off. I think if he would have done anything in the third round, then maybe he may have pulled the third round out, but he didn't. DDP, man, he did it, bro. What was your thoughts on the fight, man? And did you have Strickland winning or did you have Duplessis winning?
Johnny Walker, I was looking through his record too. I think he's like 4-5-1 in his last 10 fights, four wins, 5 losses, 1 no contest for Michael Live. So, but you know, I give him the credit that he always steps up and he stays active, and you know, he's fighting everybody in the division. You know, he's one of the guys that's keeping light heavyweight interesting. So, because he's willing to fight everybody. So, it is what it is. But yeah, we'll see what happens. Maybe they do Michael Live in the meantime, because you know, you're right, Jamal Hill. I didn't know what the times table was for his injury. You know, and especially the way he's been talking, I figured that meant that since he's been in the media a little bit, I assumed that meant that, oh, maybe he's coming back soon, but maybe not. I had DDP winning that fight. And I'll say this. I can't tell you the rounds because, honestly, I have to watch it again to tell you exact rounds. I wasn't scoring the rounds. I had a bunch of bets that night. It was actually my best bet of night to date with anything. That was a crazy, crazy good night. I put in the work, man. I look into, and I'm a big statistics guy. I look into the statistics, and I factor out all the possible outcomes. And you know, we had a killer night. I had a 21-3 record on Saturday night betting. So, and DDP, you know, that was one of my picks. I thought, you know, he's underrated. He's a guy that and the reason why it's different for me to say it, because I wasn't a fan of him. You know, I doubted him the whole time. I picked him to lose every UFC fight that he had.
Me too.
And. But you can understand why, though, because even when I was watching him versus Strickland, his striking is so weird. You know what I mean? Like, it's so baffling. Like, I'm a fan of him at this point because once he beat our boy Whitaker, I was like, all right, you got my respect now. It's like, if you beat my boy Whitaker, that's my man, but I got to give you respect now. You know what I mean? Like, I think Whitaker's still one of the best in the UFC. You know, it don't matter if he loses, you know, he could lose 10 fights. You know, some guys you're still a fan of regardless. You're still rocking with him. But, yeah, had to give him his respect when he won that one. It's like, all right, like, clearly this guy's good, you know. But it's still, you can't blame us. You pick him to lose all those fights because his striking is just so, like, he has such an awkward style, you know what I mean? It looks so strange when you watch him strike, you know. He had Strickland doing weird stuff in there. But, you know, I think that plays to his advantage. You know, I think that plays to his advantage. I think he makes his awkwardness makes guys kind of do things that they wouldn't normally do. I think he kind of takes people out of their element, you know, with the way he is. He's so unpredictable and so unorthodox and just so, like, awkward, you know, of a style that it's like, I feel like guys just kind of get you've seen Strickland just throwing, like, YOLO punches in there. Like, he was throwing crazy shit sometimes. When you watch the playbacks, you can see, like, Strickland throwing some wild shit. And, you know, but the guy can fight, man. He can fight. You know, I thought he won the fight. I don't know the rounds. But I'm cool with people saying, you know, 3-2 either way. I don't think the fight was anything different than that. You know, if you have Strickland winning, that's okay. 3-2 either way, I can understand it. But and like I said, I wasn't judging the rounds, but I do think it was that level of close where it was, if anything, a guy won by a round. You know, there was no this guy won more, you know, than a couple of rounds. I don't think it was that kind of fight. Again, like I said, if I wanted to score the round and tell you, like, oh, 49-46, something like that, I would have to watch it back. I didn't score the rounds, but I do think it 3-2 type of fight, you know, either way is probably what it was. That's what it looked like. It was very close. But I don't think it was a robbery. And I want to ask people that has Strickland won in the fight this one question and ask yourself this. If that fight is not a title fight, Strickland won.
Say that again, Keith.
I asked my boy this question because he thought Strickland won the fight, and I thought DDP won the fight. So we're at Hooters, and I asked him this question while walking out the door. I said, if Sean Strickland did not have, if he was not the champion, and there was no, and say that was not a title fight at all, it was no belt, that was just a regular fight, but it went the same way. Would you think that Strickland won that fight?
That's a good question. That's a good question.
And if you'd want me to, would you want me to explain why I'm asking that?
Yeah, go ahead. Expound on it.
Because I feel like the reason why I say it that way is because I feel like the people that had Strickland winning are they're thinking of the champions clause. I decided to call it the champions clause. It's that idea that, oh,
you have to really beat the champ. You really have to beat the champ to beat it.
Yeah, it's both those concepts. It's the biasness towards the champ in close rounds because they're the champ. Like any biasness towards the champ because they're the champ in a close round, in a decision, or so it's both of those. But then I think it's also to be the champ, you have to beat the champ in like a super decisive way, which I don't think that's true. You know, if I said that on the show in the past, you know, time goes on, people change, and I don't agree with that sentiment anymore. I don't think that's a fair way to judge fights, you know, because you're only basing it on the title that a man is given. You're not basing it on just the fight. And if you base it on just the fight, DDP won it, you know.
Yeah, we got away from that train of thought a long time ago that you got to beat the champ decisively. I think we jumped off that a while ago because fighters are so good nowadays and that there are certain ways to win a fight without knocking out your guy, without submitting the guy or the girl, that you can dominate a fight and win a fight without finishing the person. And we have seen that time and time again. Figueiredo and Moreno, those fights went back and forth. You know, outside of what Moreno submitting him, basically all those fights were different styles of fights. You know, Moreno, he submitted Figueiredo, and then, you know, one fight, Figueiredo was just so dominant with his hands. And then one fight, Moreno came out, and he was establishing leg kicks, takedowns. I mean, all those fights were different, but depending on basically your bias, you may look at it a different way. So, you know, man, DDP has become the new Blachowicz with me. He's going to be hard to pick against, Keys, because number one, his striking is boring, but it gets the job done. He can wrestle a little bit. His defense ain't the best, but it's serviceable. And he has a chin. I thought the biggest problem with Strickland was, why aren't you throwing your very, very, very effective jab more? It's like he forgot to throw his jab. His jab was very, very dominating in the early rounds of the fight. It's like, yo, keep throwing that out there. And once he stopped throwing that jab out there, the tide of the fight changed, man. But, you know, I think Strickland will be back. I'm going to throw this out there, and I'm going to ask you your opinion on this. Do you think Duplessis should rematch Strickland? Should he wait for Adesanya? Or should he go... That killer shark that's out there lurking and ready, Hamzat. What's your thoughts, bro?
Well, one thing I want to say is that, first of all, no, I don't think there should be an immediate rematch. I think maybe they rematch. You know, I think down the line could be cool. I mean, let them both go take another fight and we see how it plays out, and then maybe we could do a rematch if they both win a fight or two, and, you know, see how it plays out. I don't think we need to do an immediate rematch. And here's the thing, you know. Here's the thing, right? One thing that DDP did in that fight that I noticed right out the gate, and he did it the whole fight, and no one's talking about it that I've seen. He capitalized, and this is another great move from his team. I feel like they talked about this. I know they talked about this. If you watch Adesanya versus Sean Strickland, what is something that Sean Strickland implemented right away? He did this.
You talking about his jab or the leg kicks?
Well, those two, but this, what I would say is he took control of the fight and he put Adesanya on his back foot right away.
Yep. Yeah.
Adesanya on his back foot right away. Stop pressing him against, not literally pressing him, but get him back to the cage as fast as you can. Walk him down every round. You know, don't give him any space to do what he does. You know, he gave him no space. And then I feel like that was what Strickland walked Adesanya down all 25 minutes. And I feel like that was a thing that I feel like dudes don't really do that to Adesanya, you know, because I can't really tell you exactly why they don't do it to him, but
it's his counterpunch.
Exactly.
People scared of his counterpunch.
So, you know, guys don't want to, and I had thought that, but I was trying to, you know, get to my next thing. Guys don't want to get sniped. And you put it into better words than me, so salute. Guys don't want to get sniped by Adesanya trying to walk him down like that. They don't want to be in his range like that, you know. So they're trying to fight a distance, but not realizing that if you don't pressure Adesanya, he dominates that distance. You know what I mean? You can't really fight him at distance either, because that's where he's going to do even better at distance, you know. And those are the fights where it's like you see Adesanya versus Jared Cannonier was like, Cannonier was, and that's why it's so crazy to me that people try to say that was a close fight. I see people saying that he had a close decision with Jared. What? You guys thought that was a close fight? I thought that Adesanya versus Cannonier was a close fight. I got to ask you how you came up with that. That was not a close fight. I ruled that 5-0 for Adesanya. I had that 50-45. Cannonier around, and the reason why was because Cannonier was trying to do what Adesanya does. He was trying to fight at distance and pick his shots. He was almost looked like Cannonier was trying to mimic what Adesanya mimic his fight style. He was trying to fight Adesanya with his own shit. You know, he wasn't doing what Cannonier does. I feel like he was trying to like copycat what Adesanya does. You're not gonna beat him at his own game. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to be able to outpoint fight Adesanya. It's not going to happen. You know what I mean, no one's going to be able to do that. So Sean Strickland came in, pressured him. I'm not saying it was easy. I'm not trying to make it sound like it was easy. It definitely wasn't. But because Adesanya is one of the GOATs to me. He's one of my GOATs. And Adesanya is higher on the GOAT list than Habib, by the way, but that's neither here nor there. Next piece is DDP did the same. DDP saw that, and he said, I'm going to do that to Sean Strickland. First second of the fight, backing him down, put Sean Strickland on his back foot, lets him know that you're not going to walk me down at all. I'm in control of the shit. He pretty much asserted dominance right there. He went balls out, and he set the tone for the fight. And he I don't recall a moment in that fight where Strickland was walking him down. I feel like Strickland was more so responding the whole time. You know, he was on his back foot. And, yeah, I think that was a huge part of DDP's success there. Plus, hey, even if the takedown wasn't, you know, even if it's short-lived, six takedowns is six takedowns, bro. You know what I'm saying? You don't lose most of the striking exchanges. You don't lose most of the striking exchanges and get taken down six times and then still get to wear the belt after that. That's not what I've learned in this game. You don't get taken down six times, okay, and land zero of your own and get beaten in the striking exchanges throughout most of the fight.
And still get to
hold your title. That's not, and you don't get an immediate rematch for that either with zero title defenses. So I hope all y'all take it back for hating on Adesanya because he was fighting everybody. Sean Strickland has zero titles. Man, go ahead.
Yeah, man, it's funny that he had six takedowns and only had 2 minutes of ground control. But if you, I mean, we really don't want to harp on the Adesanya fight too much of Strickland. But if everybody go back into your mental Rolodex, the second round of that fight with Sean Strickland, the only round I think our boy Izzy won was the second round. What did he do? He abandoned his counterpunching style, and he pushed the pace. He was the one leading the dance in that second round. And in that second round, like my man Keith said, Strickland was fighting off his back foot. And Adesanya dominated that second round. So that's one thing that might be a chink in Strickland's armor is him not being able to fight off his back foot. But Duplessis done a great job of switching it up between strikes, wrestling, fighting at distance, and basically Strickland helped him by not throwing a jab. But I really don't want to talk about this fight, but we had to. We had a new bantamweight queen crown that on that same pay-per-view. We had Raquel Pennington winning the unanimous decision against Mara Bueno Silva. I thought Bueno Silva would have put up a better performance than what she did. But, you know, man, Rocky being the veteran that she is, all I think about is when I come to Raquel is when that time she fought Amanda Nunes and me and Keys came in that I think we did our show that Wednesday, and we were so disappointed in her corner for sending her back out there and letting her get beat up even more. And then you look now, she's the new bantamweight champion. Congrats to Raquel Pennington for sticking with it. You know, it could have been easy for her just to, you know, say, man, is it worth it? Especially after that beating she took against Nunes. And basically, I thought she was basically in a gatekeeper type role. But, you know, she's the new bantamweight champion. Megan O'Leary interviewed Amanda Nunes. Amanda said, you know, that she's feel good. She's strong, and when Megan asked her, was there a possibility, she said maybe. But I don't want to see Amanda come back. Let this young group of ladies, you know, let them do their thing now. You did your thing. You went out on top. Let somebody else hold it down. What was your observation of the Pennington Bueno Silva fight?
Man, that fight was terrible, bro. That was terrible. I mean, what the hell is going on? That was a title fight. Okay, you know what? It is what we're going to do. I want to just say, shout out Ryan Clark. Ryan Clark, who does the show with DC?
I saw it.
I just want to shout out Ryan Clark because Ryan Clark, shout out to you, bro. You know why? Because he came from the NFL, right? He was an NFL player?
Yep. Yeah, he was a safety.
He's an NFL guy, right? But he's a retired NFL guy, right? But he comes into the fight game. You know, he learns. You know, I respect where he's at. You know, I can tell he's put his time into it. Obviously, he has a show with DC. You got to know. You gotta you know, start jumping in. You gotta do some homework to be able to, you know, you gotta do your homework to be able to even talk with a guy like DC. But DC, and I didn't see the whole show, so I'm not gonna say who didn't do what, but I just really like that take from Ryan Clark. And to come over from the NFL and come to the UFC, I appreciate his realism right there. He's not bullshitting anything right there. He is being blunt about the way that was. And that's, and some people will try to say, oh, he's a no, he's not a casual, bro. He's not a casual. He's just keeping it a stack with, he's keeping it a stack with us. He's keeping it all, yep, all the way 1,000 with us. And that's the way it should be, because he's right. You know what he said? Ryan Clark said, he said, if that's the standard that we're setting for the top of that division, if a title fight in a division is supposed to be the highest level fight that could be put on in that division, he said something like this. If that's supposed to be the highest level fight that could be put on that division, and one of those two women with that performance is supposed to be the champion, we might as well just shut down the whole division.
That's what he said.
I agree. DC was laughing. I don't know what DC said after that. You know, he's laughing. I mean, DC, he's right, bro. I think he's right. I mean, what the hell was that? That fight was a snooze. Bro, that was a snooze fest of snooze fest. That was just, there was a whole lot of nothing going on in that fight. I don't know what was happening. You know what I mean? Like, so, hey, I don't think Amanda Nunes should come back, man. I'd like to see them have this, you know what I'm saying, and let these women fight, you know, and kind of have a more level playing field. But, man, we can't be rewarding shit like that, bro. No way. We cannot be, and that is not it, bro. That we gotta have that. We gotta have it right when we review fights like that. We gotta have it right. That is not it, bro. That is not it. That is just, man.
And the crazy part, Keys, when I'm looking at the women's division, the three women's division, bantamweight is the weakest of the three, bro. Remember, bantamweight used to be the strongest of the three. Now, I'm gonna give you some names that's in the top 10 in the bantamweight division. At number 10, we got Macy Chiesin. We got Carl Rosa, who just had a bang of a fight with Aldana. Misha Tate. Holly Holm. Juliana Pena. The girl that just lost to Raquel Pennington, she lost to Pennington and moved up one spot in the rankings. For real, though? So, yeah, man, this bantamweight division needs some help. And, you know, man, it's just, I don't know, man. That fight, you know, man, I know Dana White wasn't happy with that fight. I know most fans weren't happy with that fight. Only people that's happy with that fight is Raquel Pennington fans. But let's quickly go over, you know, some of the outcomes on this card. Jillian Robinson dominated again, winning her fight against Pollyanna Viana. We had Charles Jourdain. He won his fight against Sean Woodson, and then Keys' girl Jasmine Juice Vicious. Oh my God, this lady had probably one of the weirdest scorecards you will ever see in a UFC fight. Man, I couldn't believe the scorecards I saw in this lady's fight. I want to say they had a 10-7 round that she had in this fight. Keys, you talk about domination. This was total domination. She threw 398 total strikes. The young lady she fought, Priscilla, only threw 52 strikes, total strikes. 398 to 52. 11 minutes of control to 5 seconds of control. Man, good gracious. Out of the other fights on the card, man, what was your takeaway from the card, bro?
Yo, I'm gonna tell you this, bro. I feel like I say first of all a lot because I always have like a few things that I want to say. By the time I'm listening to you and I get to the point where okay, I'm about to speak in response, I have a few things I want to say. Because I'm just thinking the whole time. But yo, first of all, that is the standard in the prelims. Okay, the women's bantamweight title fight. Okay. Had how many strikes? We don't know how many strikes. How many strikes? Now, you know, I'm going to pull up the strikes. That example I was about to make is not necessarily true. It looks different when you look at the stats because it shows Raquel Pennington landed 265 total strikes.
Out of 342.
And MBS landed 96. But that doesn't tell the story of the fight, though. You know what I mean? That doesn't really tell the story of the fight, though. And you can't just look at stats. You got to watch the fight. But either way, I mean, this was total domination. 326 to 26 total strikes. Jasmine Jesuda Vicious versus Priscilla Cachuera. And... yeah, that Jasmine Jesuda Vicious is excellent, man. This is one of my girls. I'm glad you said that. She's actually, I'm pretty sure your boy Joel used to manage her. Joel Torres.
Yeah, I think
pretty sure he used to
I
manage her.
Yeah, he used to work with her. Yeah,
I think so. Because I remember when she got signed to the UFC. When she was having her first fight, I remember, like, I had deja vu. I was like, oh, I think that's – because you don't really forget a name like that. You know what I mean? She has a pretty distinct name. But when I saw her, I'm like, oh, that's the one Joel used to manage. That's what's up. So I don't know if he still works with her or not. But, I mean, either way, he's probably happy to see her, you know, pretty much thriving in the UFC.
Yeah.
Man,
she was dominant, bro. Good Lord, she was dominant.
Yeah, but 326, I mean, Jasmine, she's a beast, man. And I really knew. I felt so good. She was one of my strongest picks. You know, I was like, yo, Jasmine just threw the Visa's money line, man. That might be the lock of the week. You know what I mean? But I don't even know if I took her money line or not. I just took some props. No, I took her money line and some props. I hit like four bets in that one fight. But the prelims is better, man. That would be my takeaway. The prelims is better. If you're only watching pay-per-views, you're only watching the last five fights of UFC, I feel like you're really missing out on the quality, man. These are the bangers here, man. And I just feel like you don't have the right. Like, you don't have the full scope of what's going on, bro. If you're not watching the prelims, dog, like, I feel like every week I end up talking to folks and they ask me about the fights and then they tell me, like, oh, like, the card was okay. And I'm like, oh, like, you know, did you see the prelims? And they say, nah, they didn't see the prelims. I'm like, dog, the card was fire. If you watched the prelims, you saw a bunch of great fights. You saw 7, 8 great fights before we even got to the main card. You know what I'm saying? And you talk about, I mean, let me run through it, okay? Malcolm Gordon versus Jimmy Flick. That was probably one of the lowest level fights we could have possibly had. That started out the card. But with a crazy comeback, third round submission, Jimmy Flick. Jasmine Jesuda Vicious wins by 9 million strikes in the second fight of the night. Total beast. Lioness versus Sam Patterson. I don't really remember that one. First round submission. Looks like it was good. Then another one of my girls, Lee. Two of my girls were on this card. Jillian Robinson dominates Pollyanna Viana. Wins by, I think it was a second round TKO. Jillian Robinson is a beast. She's at strawweight, by the way. Sirhei Saidi. Lee, did you see this fight? Saidi versus Ramon Tavares. Oh, my goodness. Bro, this was a great fight. If you didn't see it, I'm telling you, you got to watch it. These dudes, these dudes put on, bro. These dudes were crazy. And this was a rematch. They said these dudes fought in Dana White Contender Series. I didn't see the Contender Series fight, but then they something happened. Maybe there was like a no contest or some kind of situation happened where they wanted to rematch. And you could tell there was bad blood, too. Like, these two dudes don't seem to like each other. You know what I mean? But you could tell in the fight. I mean, they put on, bro. So if you didn't see it, Saidi versus Tavares, bro, if they didn't get a performance of the night bonus and they didn't both get 50K, that is a sin, bro. They should both have gotten 50K because that was probably the best fight of the night. It had to either be that fight or probably the main event, and then you would have had to give a performance bonus to both Jillian Robinson and my girl Jasmine. If you want to have it right, those would have been the bonuses.
But that's how they went.
Yeah, George,
that's how the bonuses went.
Is that
Jillian,
what it was?
Jillian got a bonus. Jasmine got a bonus, and Fight of the Night was the main event.
Okay, so I'm glad we had that. That's the way they should have done it. And then after that, I mean, Jordan Woodson, that fight was okay. Brad Katona versus Garrett Armfield, that fight was okay. I mean, good fight. Chris Curtis, and this is where the card started to become, you know, not as good, was towards the second half, towards main card, you know. Arnold Allen, Evloev, okay, that fight was kind of boring. Chris Curtis, MAB, that fight was kind of boring. Neil Magny versus Mike Malott, that fight was kind of boring. But, hey, Neil Magny, you can't count out Neil Magny, bro. When you think he's going to lose, he wins. When you think he's going to win, he loses. If you count him out, if you count him out, he comes in with the key special. Comes in with the key special, third round, TKO. Total Neil Magny fashion, bro. Total Neil Magny fashion. This might be the most unpredictable fighter ever in the UFC. This guy is an anomaly. I don't know what it is. He smashed that guy out of nowhere. That was crazy.
Out of nowhere.
That was crazy. Out of nowhere. And I'm going to tell you all this. I did not bet on Mike Malott. I'm going to tell you all this. A lot of people in the community, the betting community, they sold picks for people telling them to bet on Mike Malott. Your boy Keys didn't bet on Mike Malott. I knew he was a red flag. You can go on the timeline and see me saying it all week long. Mike Malott's a red flag, y'all. Don't bet him. I'm getting Tom Nolan vibes. I'm getting Tom Nolan vibes. Don't do it. Tom Nolan was, Lee, in case you didn't know, Tom Nolan was a 6-0 DWS guy that came in last weekend for Uncle Ab Walker, uh-huh. and he got finished in the first round. And he had a lot of hype behind him. That was another one. He was fighting a veteran guy, got smashed in the first round. 6-0 guy. And now here was Mike Malott, 10-1 guy, 10 KOs, gets smashed out by Magny in the third round. Total bust. And he's Canadian. And Mike Malott had a home game, and he got smashed. All the Canadian fighters lost, bro. That was the most – that was rough, man. They had a rough night. And then, you know, Snooze and then Strickland and DDP was a banger, bro. That card, you know what I mean? Watch the prelims. That was my whole point.
Yeah, man. It's just a bit of information for, you know, people that listen to the show. The prelims is where you get to know the up and comers. All our stars that's in the game, they're not always gonna be in the game. So you have to watch the prelims to see people rise to where they fight on the main card. Not everybody is going to be a Sean O'Malley where they come in and they fighting on the main card. Some people, they have to earn their way onto the main card. And the way you do that is by putting on good fights on the prelims, raising through the rankings. And that's how fan bases are built. That's how me and Keys became a fan of Adesanya. Adesanya came into the UFC, and it seemed like every other pay-per-view he was fighting. We was like, yo, bro, does this guy ever stop training? And it was that hunger and what he was doing that he built up a fan base. That's one why he's one of the most popular fighters in MMA. Because we got to see him rise through the ranks, man. So that's why you have to watch these fight nights and you have to watch the prelims, man, because it gives you and it gives you more fighters that you want to keep your eye on. But Keys, man, we got to move on. I can't wait till we talk about this, but we got to talk about Kayla Harrison, bro. Came out that Kayla Harrison has signed with the UFC. She'll be fighting at UFC 300 against Holly Holm. Once again, I'm disappointed with the UFC. When you sign a fighter like Kayla Harrison, why isn't there a press conference? Why isn't there some kind of media scrum? When they signed Ben Askren, when they traded for Ben Askren, they made a big deal out of it. When they signed Michael Chandler, they made a big deal out of it. You have signed Michael Venom Page and Kayla Harrison, and basically there has been basically no rollout, no nothing, except Dana White saying Michael Venom Page is going to fight at this event against this person. So Kayla Harrison will be joining the UFC, fighting the UFC 300, going against Holly Holm. But my issue with this, Keys, is Kayla Harrison has fought at 155 in PFL. She struggled to make that weight at PFL. And now they're going to have her fight at 135. I just don't think it's smart. I don't think it's smart for Kayla to even basically sign to the UFC if they don't have a 145 division for her, or 155 division, because I just see her struggling to make weight, man. But congrats to the UFC for this signing. What are your thoughts on the Kayla Harrison signing, and your thoughts on her fighting Holly Holm for her first fight?
I'm not mad at it. I mean, I see a lot of hate for this on the timeline. People are mad at this fight, but I'm not mad at it, bro. I'm good. I was excited last night. I texted you in all caps. How are you doing? He's seen.
Yeah,
I texted you in all caps. I was like,
I saw it this morning.
I was like, this is not a drill. I was like, UFC has signed Kayla Harrison. I was geeked, bro. I was like, yo, what? Like, I thought that was crazy when I saw it. I thought I was dreaming. I was like, yo, I gotta bro my eyes, bro. I don't know what's going on. You know, I mean, I definitely didn't. I couldn't have predicted that one. People are talking about that she fought at 155 in PFL and that she's moving down to 135, and then they're talking about Holly Holm is old. And, man, I don't give a damn about that stuff, bro. I mean, the weight is the weight, bro. I mean, y'all just people, they just want to get so, like, committed to everything. You know what I mean? It's like, let's just watch the fights, dog. Like, let the business run itself, man. That's the UFC's job to figure all that stuff out. Why do you get stressed about the weight? You know what I mean? Why are you stressing about the weight that they're fighting at? You know what I mean? Like, who cares? Like, you know, what might have happened is Holly Holm didn't want to do 145, and she didn't want to do a catch weight. You know, there is no catch weight at UFC. They don't have 150, 155, and then Holly Holm probably didn't want to do 145. You know, maybe she feels better at 135 at this point in her career. Maybe she doesn't want to, you know, have to bulk up or whatever she has to do. I don't know. Maybe she likes the cut to or to be at 135, you know? Maybe that's her walk around weight. Maybe Holly Holm is only like 2 pounds, 3 pounds over it, and she likes that cut. She doesn't want to bulk up. You know, she's older. Who cares? She wants to just chill. Maybe it's harder for her to go through that process. She said she can only do 135. But I imagine that's probably what happened. You know, it was probably something like that. You know, Holly Holm couldn't do 145, and you know that's what they came down to, and. I love the fight, bro. I think it's a good fight. You know, I think it should probably – that should probably be, you know, maybe that's a prelim fight on UFC 300. You know, I think maybe that should be a prelim fight, which there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that, y'all. Nothing wrong with the prelims, man. We got to stop that. Like, prelims is the bangers. Nothing wrong with being on the prelims. That's usually the better cards. If you know fights, you know the prelims is usually better. So yeah, who cares? Put them on the fucking prelims, because you know UFC a lot of fights that need to be on the main card. You know what I'm saying? You know, and that's it. I love the fight. I think it's good.
Well, all right, man. I mean, Bennett, you brought it up, man. I thought it'd be cool to do a little segment called The Good, The Bad, The Ugly, you know, early on UFC 300, man. Because there's been a lot of good fights being announced for this card, but there are some, you know, some things that we might have a problem with so far with this, with the card. But we can start it off like this, man. What's your UFC 300? What's the one thing that Keys is happy about with UFC 300? I'll say, what's your good?
I mean, I think it's a good card. I'm not somebody that's hating on it. I'm good. I think people would just keep on, like, saying, oh, this isn't good enough. It's like, bro, the card is first of all, the card is 3 months away, so I don't even know what anyone's going on about with this. Like, how often do you see cards be fully filled out months before? Like, how often does that actually happen? You know what I mean? So I don't know why people think that, like, oh, we don't have 15 fights. It's like, bro, it's January 24th. The card is on April 13th, bub. Like, I don't know what people are talking about. They've gotten into, like, this state of delusion with like, requesting this, like, godlike card, and it's months away. Like, and we already have 11
fights. Not even
Diego. We have 11 fights for a card that's 3 months away, and people are saying, oh, is there not going to be 15? Shut up, man. They don't have to announce them all 3 months before. They can wait and then announce some of the, you know, next couple or next couple main events as the time goes on. Let them give them a couple of weeks. Let them announce it. People just got nothing to do, man. They just sit there and hate on things and speculate. And it's just like, man, you got to go to work, man. Go do something. Like, y'all just got too much time. You know, I need to just sit and complain. But, yeah, UFC 300, good, bad, ugly, man. I think, I mean, Gaethje, Holloway, BMF is fire. You know, I think Wadi Zhang versus Yao Zhaonan, I think that's a great fight on any other card except UFC 300. That's how I feel about that one. That's a great fight any other card besides this one. I don't think that's a UFC 300 caliber fight, if you ask me. But, you know, great fight. I just think not a UFC 300 caliber fight, but great fight on any other card. And I'm still looking forward to it. I like Tank Wiley. Jerry Rockick, I mean, that one's cool. I'm not really a Rockick fan, but that one's cool. Cater versus Aljo, you know how I feel about that one, bro. Aljo all day, -110, that's the money play. You know, don't doubt Aljo at 145 versus Cater, bro. Come on. You guys know better than to do that. And, I think it's good, man. There's a lot of good fights. I'm not going to read them all off, but there's a lot of good fights there, man. These all feel like, most of these feel like main event caliber fights. You know what I mean? Figueiredo, Cody, that could main event. Oliveira, Armin Tayukin, that could main event. Cater versus Sterling, that could main event. Like, we're not saying all pay-per-views, but we're talking fight nights as well. Jiří Rokic, that could main event. Wiley Zhang versus Yao Zhaonan, that could main event. Gaethje Holloway, that could main event. Like, Bobby Green, Jim Miller, that could main event. Like, these are all main event caliber fights. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's a fight night main event or pay-per-view, these are all good fights. So, the ugly, I would just say Zhang Wiley versus Yao Zhaonan. Like, that's one of your only title fights, and I don't even really think that's a UFC 300 caliber fight. So I think they got to bulk up on the title fights. You know, we need, like, give us at least, like, another, like, dope title fight. You know what I mean? Give us, like, Gaethje versus Holloway really, like, put some juice in it, you know? But give us, you know, I think it needs a little bit more up the top. But, yeah.
Yeah, man, I think my good is the quality of the card. I think the card is going to be a good card. You know, they haven't announced what the main event going to be yet for the card, so that fight is still yet to be determined, which champion is going to defend their belt in that spot. I think my bad is I don't like Charles Oliveira fighting Saruki, man. I just feel like Charles Oliveira should be fighting Islam. What else does Charles Oliveira have to do to get a rematch against Islam? He pulled out I think the UFC probably punished him for pulling out of the Abu Dhabi fight. That's the one that Volkanovski stepped in on short notice. But come on, man, we all know who the number one contender is, bro. So that's my bad. And my ugly, man, is I really don't like the Gaethje Holloway fight, man. I just don't like Max going up to 155 or going against a guy like Gaethje for a BMF title. So Gaethje is defending the BMF title against Max Holloway. That's a gimmicky thing for me. And the last time I seen Max at 155 against Dustin Poirier, man, I just remember him getting lumped up. Although he did take the fight on short notice and he did have a problem cutting the weight. But I just think Gaethje is naturally the bigger man. And then he's going to be bigger the night of the fight. Whereas I don't think Max is going to get that much bigger than what he normally fights at in the UFC. So, but Max could shock the world and win the quote-unquote BMF title. So, overall, I think this is going to be a great card once they round it out. And most of the fights we're talking about are on the prelims. Those fights are on the prelims. You got Bobby Green and Jim Miller on the early prelims right now. Holly Holm and Kayla Harrison on the early prelims. Figueredo and Garbrandt on the early prelims. So, yeah, man, it's definitely going to be an event. Man, we're going to have some fire shows leading up to UFC 300. But, people, pump your brakes. Like Key said, the card isn't until April. There's going to be a lot of moving parts between now and then. But let's hope. Let's have the power of positivity that every fighter that's up here now will be able to make the walk that night and you know, be able to pull this card off. We talked about a lot tonight. You know, we talked about Uncle Al Walker. We talked about UFC 297. What else we talk about? We talked about Kayla Harrison signing, and we just gave y'all good, bad, and ugly for UFC 300. But you know, there's a lot of time between now and then. And hey, we're gonna keep coming back at you with this fire. Any last words, Keys?
No, just you know, try to be positive. Yeah, focus on your mental health. Stop complaining about UFC 300. It's still 3 months away. And yeah, that's pretty much it. And drink water. And drink water. Yeah. Get some sun too.
Yeah, man. Well, you know, 2024, new year. I haven't came up with a saying yet. You know, normally every year I come up with some kind of saying to end the show. But being that we're still in January, I'm just going to read something that somebody sent me. New year equals new moments. Make time for new adventures. Learn new lessons. Create new memories. Challenge yourself and enjoy your new opportunity. So that being said, Lynn Key signing off. Everybody be safe. Take care of you. Take care of each other. And we always end the show with a peace.